Let's begin. Top of Lamed Hey. Again, our shiur this morning is dedicated by the Lerner family. Sponsored by the Lerner family in memory of Ari's grandfather, Shmuel ben David. And we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah. So we left off top of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says the following: V'chilufa b'chilsa. So if remember again, we're in the middle of discussing the various shitos. And again, I just want to take this opportunity also to wish Shkayach to Ari for arranging the technical details for yesterday's shir. Really, we went back and forth on a lot of different possibilities. It turned out that the simplest way was just good old audio. Aruch Hashem. So Shkayach to Ari and to David Brenner for helping to arrange that. Really, Ari was our man on the ground here. And Baruch Hashem, it was beautiful to see. Oh, and we called into Stephen's phone. Thank you very much for Stephen's phone. That's right. That's right. Right. And really, it was a beautiful thing to see. We had a whole Olam on the bus as well. At 5:45 in the morning. So Baruch Hashem. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says b'chilufa b'chilsa. So if you remember again, we're in the middle of discussing the various shitos in the realm of Bein Hashmashos. So the Gemara says, so we have longer shiurim, shorter shiurim. So the Gemara just says that some of the people. Chilufa bechilsa, that we see, look at Rashi, chilufa, if the Rabba of Rav Yosef, bechilsa, the hasam shi'ura de Rav Yosef, nafesh mi de Rabba. So Rabbi, if you remember again, according to Rav Yosef, Bein HaShmashos is keheref ayin. Bein HaShmashos is just simply like the blink of an eye. Whereas according to Rabba, the shir of Bein HaShmashos is longer. So Rashi just points out over here that Rabba and Rav Yosef also have an argument when it comes to baskets. We'll discuss in just a moment. And in the realm of baskets, Rav Yosef's shir, is greater than Rabba. He says, "The Amar Hacha Tlasa." Okay, so let's see the Gemara now. The Chilufa Bechilsa. See, even though Rav Yosef held the shorter shir by Bein Hashmashos, Rabba held the longer one. We see the opposite, meaning Rav Yosef holds a longer shir. We'll say not that these two things have anything to do with each other. The Gemara just pointed once about Rabba and Rav Yosef. We're just adding a couple of other machloksim that they have. And in this case, again, Rav Yosef holds the larger shir. Rabba holds the shorter, smaller shir. So the Gemara. What's the chilsa case? To Amar Rabba, chilsa bas trei kuri. If you have a basket that is capable of holding two kur, shari l'taltula, you're permitted to go ahead and move it on Shabbos. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Shari l'taltula, the Torah's kli alaha. Now, we'll say what they're arguing about is the following: that at what point does the utensil become so big that it loses its status as a kli, and therefore, by definition, becomes a mukta on Shabbos? That's the idea. At a point in time, something becomes so big that it's no longer called the keli. Whatever it's called, but it's not called the keli. So Rabba says, so the Gemara says over here, that if you have a basket that's capable of holding two kor, just for our purposes, let's assume right now that two kor is somewhere around 300 liters. Let's assume, right, 300 gallons, 300 liters. Let's assume that for now. So the Gemara says, if you have a vessel that's capable of holding this two kor, shari l'taltula, you're permitted to carry it, which means that it still has the status of a kli. Ubas tlasa kuri asuri. But once it goes ahead and is capable of holding three kor, then halach l'maisa, that's already so big that it's no longer considered a kli, and therefore when it says you're not allowed to be able to taltul it, it means that it's mukta. Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef says, Bas tlasa kuri nami shari. Rav Yosef says that no, even a three kor utensil is still called utensil, therefore can be carried on Shabbos. Bas arba kuri asur. But if it's so big that it's able to handle four kor, then that ultimately is asur. Meaning when we say asur really means what? Asur means mukta, that it's not a kli. Amr Abai, so Abai said the following. Bo mine demar bishas maisa. So Abai said, I asked this question. You see, I'll say it's interesting that in halacha, so often the question is asked in the abstract, and then you have situations where the question is asked, you know, halacha lamaisa on the ground. So Abai says that I once asked Rabba this particular question, halacha lamaisa. I asked him, Alokha al-Maisi, meaning I had this situation, and what happened? Va'afidu bas-kur bas-tre-kuri lo-sharali. And ultimately said Abaye, Rabbah didn't even allow me to go ahead and what? Didn't even allow me to carry a utensil that was a two-kur utensil, because at that point Rabbah said that already that's lost its status as a kli, and therefore is called, and therefore is mokza. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Kiman, whose opinion does this reflect? Look at Rashi. Kiman, dahad da'afilu betarti kuri lo shari. So whose opinion does it reflect that halacha lemaisi, even a two-core utensil, cannot be used to go ahead and, cannot be moved on Shabbos because it's mokta? So the Gemara says, kehaitana, disnan kavera sakash. If you have a basket that's made of straw, kavera sakonin, or you have a basket that's made of reeds, ubor svina alexandris. It's actually very interesting. It means literally the pit of an Alexandrian boat. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Ubor svina alexandris, svina gidol. This apparently was a type of boat, a large boat, sheparshim ba liyam, that they would go on very long sea voyages for, liyam agadol, umehayam maluchin. As we know, so the seawater is salty. Va'osin kli gadol kimin bar, v'noslo socho mayim yafim. So apparently what they would do is, this type of boat, which was made for long journeys on the open seas, they had what they called a bar, like a pit, a large receptacle, built into the boat itself, that would carry their drinking water. So the Gemara says, Afa pishi yeshlahem shulayim, even though each of these things has a flat bottom, and therefore is able to sit on the ground by itself, vehi machzikos mem sa'a belach, shein kurayim biyavesh, and they can go ahead and hold 40 sa'a liquid, which turns into 60 sa'a. Kurayim is 60 sa'a. And if you have a dry measure, tahorim, they're tahor. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi, tahorin. The iskash tahorin means that they're not mekabel tuma. They're not mekabel tuma. Now, what does it mean if it's not mekabel tuma? If it's not mekabel tuma, it means that it's not a kli. It's not a kli. So why is it not a kli? Take a look at Rashi. Tahorin, Rashi says, the iskash kli eitz l'sak dimetalta moli v'reikon. V'ze eno metalta moli, the godol yoser midai, v'im yitalta luhu yishabre b'yedein. So Rabasi, here's what's interesting. In order to be called a keli, and this is quite fascinating, there are a number of different details you must conform to. But one of them is that a keli has to be able to be carried both full and empty. These items are too large to be carried full, and therefore halacha lemaisa, they lack the status of a keli. The only reason the Gemara is bringing this down is because here you have the shear of kurayim. Here you have the shear of kurayim. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says biyavesh. The Gemara says ve'machzik esmem sabalach shei kurayim biyavesh. Torm Amar Abaye shmamina. So Abaye says we see something very important from here. Hai gutsha tilsa. Abaye says you see from here also that when you have solids. So remember, so when you pile solids into a rim, unlike liquids, where the most amount of liquid you could pile into a particular keli is the amount of liquid that fits into the keli. When you have solids, you could pile solids even above the rim. So the Gemara says you see from here hai gutsha tilsa havi, that you could ultimately put another third of the volume of the utensil above the rim. Because since the utensil could go ahead and hold 40 sa'a of liquid and 60 sa'a of solids, that indicates to you that you could heap the extra 20 above the rim itself. So the Gemara goes weiter. Abaye chazye l'rava dikot dovi l'marav. Abaye saw Rava looking to the west. I'll look at Rashi for just a moment. Dovi, Mabit. Mabit, okay, he was looking, gazing. Say, when was this happening? Rashi says, Erev Shabbos, Liros im yesh sham adam dumis tama. Admumis tama, excuse me. So what happened? So he saw, Abaye saw that Rava, keep looking anyways, that Rava was looking towards the west in order to go ahead and see if the redness of the sky was still there. Remember, he's trying to figure out, is it time to start Shabbos yet? Omerle, so he said to him, Vahatanya, Kozman Shepine Mizrach Ma'adimin. But Abai said to Rabbi, why are you looking in the west? Why are you looking in the west? After all, we learned before that Halacha Lemaisa, Bein Hashmashos is at the time that the eastern horizon begins to darken. I should say differently. That Bein Hashmashos is at the time that the eastern horizon is reddened. So the Gemara says, Amrlei. So it's actually very interesting. So Rabbi said to Abaye, Mi Savris Pene Mizrach Mamish. So the Gemara says, so Rav said to Abaye, do you think that it literally means the eastern sky? No. Lo panim hama'adimim es hamizrach. What it means is, it refers to the panim, the sky, that reddens the mizrach. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Panim hama'adimim es hamizrach. Le'erev, in the evening, chamasho ka'as b'ma'arav. Ultimately, the sun goes down in the west. Vizaharure hachama ma'adimin es hamizrach, but the western rays redden the east. Kecholon kishachama nichneses ba ma'ademes kosal shekinegda, almost like a window that when the sun shines through it, it reddens the wall that is opposite it. So interestingly enough, what Rava was looking for were the rays of the setting sun red enough or strong enough to go ahead and illuminate the opposite horizon. While some of that redness is there to redden the opposite horizon, it's not yet night. Ika da Amri, others have a different version. Rava Chazi la Abaye, that it wasn't Abaye who saw Rava, but it was Rava who saw Abaye, the Kadavi leMizrach, and he was looking into the east. Amalei misavris pene Mizrach mamish. Do you think it literally means the real? Do you think that the Shia ben Hashmoshos is literally measured by the Mizrach? Rather, it means Panim haMa'adimim es haMizrach v'Simanach Kavsa. Rather, what it means is we look ultimately at the horizon that is reddened by the setting sun, and the Simon. The way to remember this is the window. Okay. Well, so what's only interesting about this is this introduces just a new shear for Ben Hashmashos. Because until now, we were always looking in the horizon that the sun was setting in. Now the Gemara is suggesting that maybe, it's only considered Ben Hashmashos, or even potential daytime, if there's enough light to redden the opposite horizon. But once there's no longer any light to redden the opposite horizon, that might either be night or Ben Hashmashos, depending on the Shittos. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, Kedei she'ahaleich adam mishutashaka acham achatzim yom. So Rabbi Nechemiah said that the shear for Ben Hashmashos is the amount of time that it takes for a person to walk from sun's for a person to walk a half a mil from sunset. So remember, we pointed out yesterday that the shear for a mil is 18 minutes, and then for half a mil would be 9 minutes. What Nechemiah essentially is saying is that Halacha Lemaaseh, the shear for Ben Hashmashos is 9 minutes. So the Gemara says the following: Amar Rabbi Chanina, Harotze Leida Shi'uro Shrabi Nechemiah. The Rabbi says, it's actually very interesting. You see this often, that the Gemara tries to give almost like experiential frames of reference for time frames. So the Gemara says, for example, if you want to know the shear of Rabbi Nechemiah, Yaniach Chame Berosha Carmel. So go to Haifa, go to a class trip, right? Go to Haifa, go to Har Carmel, and what happens? Leave the sun on the top of Har Carmel. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Carmel, Har Asvas Hayom, V'chama Samofushki Asa Niras Al Rashi Aharim. So he says like this: as the sun is beginning to set, it hasn't set, but as it's beginning to set, and it begins to dip below the mountains, so there's a point where the sun looks like it's sitting on top of Har Carmel. So when you see the sun sitting on top of Har Carmel, what? Yeret. So it's the amount of, so now he's describing the amount of time of Ben Hashmashos. So it's the amount of time that it takes you when the sun is sitting on top of Har Carmel to go down Har Carmel, Yeret v'yitbol b'yam, go and immerse yourself in the sea, v'ya'ale, and come back. V'zehu shi'uro shel Rabbi Nechemiah. And that's the shear of Rabbi Nechemiah. So meaning, if you want to know how long, right, the shear of half a mil is according to Rabbi Nechemiah, the amount of time that it would take when the sun is on top of Har Carmel to get down, go to the mikvah, right, go immerse yourself in the water, come back up. When the sun is setting, it looks like it's on the top of the mountain. So at that time, when the sun looks like it's on the top of the mountain. Amar Reb Chiya, Harotze Liros Be'er Shel Miriam. So if one wants to see the Be'er of Miriam, now I will say, remember again, the Be'er of Miriam refers to the fact that when the Jews traveled in the desert, so, you know, there wasn't a Be'er like we classically think about a Be'er. The Medrash brings down there was actually a rock. It was a boulder. And the boulder followed Klal Yisrael, and whenever they needed water, water came from this particular boulder, which is also why the two times that Moshe Rabbeinu brings forth water, it's always from a rock. That's because they were always getting water from the rock. That was the Be'er Shel Miriam. So the Gemara here suggests, beautiful Agarata, that the Be'er of Miriam still exists. So if one wants to see the Be'er of Miriam, Ya'ale, and it's called the Be'er of Miriam. Why? Because Klal Yisrael had water in the desert in the Zuchus of Miriam. Right? They had different things in the Zuchus of different people. Water was in the Zuchus of Miriam. So if you want to see the Be'er of Miriam, Ya'ale L'Rosh HaKarmel, go up to the top of Har Karmel, the Yitzapeh, and look out, V'yira Kimin Kavra B'yam, and you will see a stone, a big stone, a boulder, that's shaped like a sieve in the water, V'zohi Be'er Shel Miriam, and that ultimately is the Be'er of Miriam. Amarav, Ma'ayon, okay, so the Gemara just adds in, once we're talking about Har Karmel, so the Gemara adds in this idea. Amarav, Rav says, Ma'ayon ha-mitaltel, a movable well, tahor, is ultimately tahor. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Tahor, melekabel tumah. So ultimately, a movable, a portable well is tahor, meaning can't be mekabel tumah, v'tovlin bo, and you're able to immerse in it. Delav kikli dami, liyos hamayim hanovim imenu kishuvim, ve'inlach. So he says, why? Because ultimately, a movable well is still not considered like a keli. And if it's not like a keli, then halachamais it's not mekabel tumah. So you're asking, where are you going to have a movable well? So look how Rashi ends off. Ve'inlacha mayon mital. Tell Ella Be'er Shel Miriam. Now, Sarashi just points out, not that this has any lemaisa ramifications for us, but just so you should know, just interestingly enough, if you were to have a portable well, the only one that we know of is Miriam's well. Haloch lemaisa, it's not mekabel tumah because it's not a kli. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmua. Ben Hashmashos to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Ben Hashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda. So also remember, we had a machlokes as to what the Ben Hashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda was. So the first opinion said that it was between sundown and the darkening of the Rakia Elyon, the darkening of the upper sky. And the second opinion said that Ben Hashmashos was the period between the darkening of the Rakia Tachton, the lower sky, and the Rakia Elyon, the upper sky. So the point of the Gemara is, so now the Gemara is not as concerned with which one we hold, as much as the Gemara is going to be concerned with the status of that time. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Ben Hashmashos to Rabbi Yehuda, the Ben Hashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda, Kohanim Tovlin Bo. Kohanim are permitted to go to the mikvah during that time. The Rabbi was like, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi, Kohanim Tovlin Bo. V'afa pi shatzricha he'er of Shemesh, achar tvila lecho b'tshumasan, kasavra yimamahu, v'yesh shuhus achro b'shkiya sachama. Now here's what's interesting. The way it works is the following. If a coin is tamei, let's keep it simple. Let's say a coin comes in contact with a dead sheretz, right? A dead rodent. So a coin has to go to the mikvah before the coin goes ahead and eats truma. So now the way it has to work is the coin goes to the mikvah during the day, but he's not tahor yet. He needs what's called Harif Shemesh. He needs the sun to set. But the immersion in the mikvah must be done by day. Let's say the coin doesn't go until that night. Then what? Then he's got to wait until the next day. Right, he needs a sunset after having gone to the mikvah. So if he goes at night, he has to wait till the next day. What the Gemara is suggesting over here is something very interesting, which is that if a kohen went to the mikvah during the Ben Hashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda, then what? Then Haloch Lamaisa, he's tar. Which means what? That the Ben Hashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda is day. And therefore Haloch Lamaisa, that's considered as if he had hair of Shemesh afterwards. So the Gemara says, one second. So if you really say this according to Rabbi Yehuda, Sveikahu. That's not true. Rabbi Yehuda himself is Mesubak about the status of Ben Hashmashos, right? Rabbi Osai, remember, we saw yesterday, there are different people who are certain about the Shira Ben Hashmashos, and then there are others who have no idea about the Shira Ben Hashmashos. They don't know what it is. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda is Mesubak about the Shira Ben Hashmashos. Ella, Ben Hashmashos to Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yossi, Kohanim Tovlin Bo. Rather, it must be talking about the Ben Hashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda according to Rabbi Yossi. Now I was like, what does that mean? Now remember, look at Rashi for just a moment. Ben Hashmashos, It's actually if you look in Rashi's Safeku, it's three lines in, four lines into that. Ella ben Ashoshos Rabbi Yosi the Rabbi Huda Logasin. He says, if you skip down, Vahachi Itmar, couple the third white line in Rashi, Vahachi Itmar ben Ashoshos Rabbi Yosi the Rabbi Huda, Karnim Tovlimbo, Vashmu Inun Shmuel, the ben Ashoshos Rabbi Yosi Kadim Lid Rabbi Huda, Utkilas ben Ashoshos Rabbi Huda Rabbi Yosi Lailahu. So we'll say, listen to this. I'll just give you the bottom line of Rashi. So the Gemara says, it must be that what? That Halacha Lamaisa, it's talking about the Ben Ashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda according to Rabbi Yossi. Now remember, Rabbi Yossi is the one who holds that Ben Ashmashos is Keheref Ayin. That Ben Ashmashos is just simply the blink of an eye. So it must be that Halacha Lamaisa, Rabbi Yossi holds that Rabbi Yehuda's Ben Ashmashos comes before his Ben Ashmashos. Therefore, if you hold that way, then according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's Ben Ashmashos is what? Is daytime. And therefore, Halacha Lamaisa, if a coin was Tovel, that would can be considered to be Tevila by day. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. That's obvious. Right? Meaning, again, it's only Pshita if you hold that Rabbi Yossi's Ben Ashmashos is later than Rabbi Yehuda's, then it's obvious that Rabbi Yossi would allow a Kohen to go to the mikvah during Rabbi Yehuda's Ben Ashmashos, because that's day. Well, so remember, because just to clarify an important point, everyone agrees that the period before Ben Ashmashos is what? Is day. The only suffix is, what is Ben Ashmashos, and how long does Ben Ashmashos go on? So again, if Rabbi Yossi holds that his Ben Ashmashos comes after Rabbi Yehuda's, then by definition, it's daytime. So the Gemara says, Pshita ma'udite mor, I've thought, Ben Ashmashos Rabbi Yossi, meishach shayich bid Rabbi Yehuda. I might have thought the following. Right? Maybe, I might have thought that Rabbi Yossi's Ben Ashmashos is perhaps part of Rabbi Yehuda's. Meaning, maybe Rabbi Yossi's Ben Ashmashos, and he says Karafayin, maybe that comes at the end, it's part of the last moment of Rabbi Yehuda's Ben Ashmashos. Kamash Malon, Dishonim Ben Ashmashos Rabbi Yehuda, Vahadr Mascha Ben Ashmashos Rabbi Yossi. To which the Gemara says, no. Kamash Malon, that what? Rabbi Yossi's Ben Ashmashos comes when? Literally after Rabbi Yehuda's Ben Ashmashos is totally complete. Therefore, the chiddush over here is that according to Rabbi Yossi, a kohen can go to the mikvah the entire shir Rabbi Yehuda's Ben Ashmashos. Amar Rabbi Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda l'inyan Shabbos, v'halacha k'Rabbi Yossi l'inyan Truma. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says, the halacha follows. So I will say, this is actually important for us now, because at least now, it would appear, although we'll have to see if it's correct, that at least we're getting a little bit of a timeline in the Shitos. So at least we know in Rabbi Yehuda's Ben Ashmashos, although we have a machlokis, what is Rabbi Yehuda's Ben Ashmashos? Again, is it Shkia, is it sundown to the darkening of the upper sky, or is it the darkening of the lower sky to the darkening of the upper sky? So we have that machlokis, but at least we know that halacha lemaisa, that the Ben Ashmashos of Rabbi Yossi is after the Ben Ashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda, which means that the Ben Ashmashos of Rabbi Yossi occurs in the moment after the darkening of the upper sky, right? The Rakia Elyon. So now the Gemara says like this: the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda le'inyan Shabbos. The halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda in terms of Shabbos. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. So right, the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda le'inyan Shabbos, which means that already, what does it mean le'inyan Shabbos? That a person should go ahead and start Shabbos before the Ben Ashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda, which of the two is the earlier Ben Ashmashos, which makes sense. Because halacha l'maaseh, when dealing with Shabbos, we don't want to get into any kind of ambiguity. Therefore, start Shabbos earlier than the Ben Ashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda. However, halacha Rabbi Yossi le'inyan Truma, but the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi in terms of Truma, which means that, which would seem to say that halacha l'maisa, a kohen could go to the mikvah throughout the entire Ben Ashoshos of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Bishlo halacha Rabbi Yehuda in Shabbos. I understand why the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda in terms of Shabbos. L'chumra, because halacha l'maisa, we're being machner, we're taking the more stringent position. Makes sense for Shabbos. Aval le'inyan Truma mahi. But what does it mean when we say that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi for Truma? What does that mean? Ilema l'tvila, if you say for Tvila, that literally would allow a kohen to go to the mikvah during that time, the Gemara is not b'shalom with this. Why? Sveikahi. It's still a suffix. How can you allow the kohen to go to the mikvah at a time where you still have someone who what? You still have someone who says that that's already night. So meaning what the Gemara is saying is, Truma is Doraisa also. So how can you go ahead and enter into the realm of suffix by a Doraisa? Elo, the Gemara says, La'achilas Truma. Rather, what the Gemara says is, it means for achilas truma. The lo achli kohanim truma ad v'shalim ben hashmashos d'Rabbi Yosi. Ah, what it means is just the opposite. What it means is that, yo, you have to go to the mikvah even before ben hashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda. So what does it mean that le'inyan truma we passing like Rabbi Yosi? It means that halacha l'maisa for the consumption of truma, you must go ahead and wait until after. You must go ahead and wait until after the ben hashmashos of Rabbi Yosi to eat truma. Meaning that it's only after the Neshoshos of Rabbi Yosi that you are in the status of Vadai Laila. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. Am Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel. Kochav Echad Yom. The Rav says, it is a very well-known Gemara. If you have one star out, meaning if one star is visible, that's still called daytime. That's still called daytime. Shnaim, if you have two stars, Ben Hashmashos. That's already Ben Hashmashos. Shlosha, once you see three stars, Laila. That's nighttime. Tanya Nami Hachi, Kochav Echad Yom, another bright that supports it. One star is day. Shnayim ben Hashmashos, two stars ben Hashmashos. Shlosha Laila, three stars is night. Rav Yosi, Lo Kochavim Gedolim Hanirim Biyom. So Rav Yosi says, it doesn't necessarily refer to large stars that are seen by day. See, apparently what the Gemara is saying over here is, Halo Chalamaisa, there are certain stars that may be visible even during daylight hours. It's not that. Velo Kochavim Kitanim Shenir Ela Balayla. And it can't refer to the minuscule stars which are only seen in the backdrop of night, Ela Beinonim. So rather what it means is what? Three average-sized stars. So also we know that L'naisa, we accept this, right? L'inyan says Shabbos, right? The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that Shabbos is completed when? At the time when one could see three average-sized stars. A person, I guess, needs a certain degree of bekius in astronomy to also know, right? I'm not sure how you gauge. I mean, thank God we have calendars, right? So I don't know how you gauge, you know. But interestingly enough, see, also here's what's fascinating. It's the same way that people were much more in tune with sunrise and sunset because they literally gauged much of their time through these things. So clearly, the Chazal, I guess the average person was much more in tune with these particular things. All right? Am Rav Yosi b'Rav Zvida. Ha'osa melacha b'shnei ben hashmashos chayiv chatas miman afshach. So that's a very interesting case. So Yosi b'Rav Zvida says like this. If you do melacha on Friday evening ben hashmashos and Saturday evening ben hashmashos, you have to bring a chatas miman afshach. Right? what does that mean? There's one thing we know for sure. We don't know exactly what you did wrong, but we know you did it wrong. Right? Now, right? Why? Because of Osai, Ben Hashmashos is Safek. Ben Hashmashos is Safek. It's either Safek Yom or Safek Laila. But whatever it is, if you did a malacha during that time on the two bookends, you definitely violated Shabbos. Right? Because, again, Man of Shach, if Ben Hashmashos is considered to be day, so then on Friday afternoon you didn't violate, but what? But on Shabbos afternoon, you did. And if Ben Hashmashos is considered night, on Motzai Shabbos, you didn't do anything, but on Friday night, you did. Now, both sides, there's a lot of difficulties with that in general. The Gemara is, whether or not you actually be chayav a carbon in such a situation like that, because it is generally, carbonos require explicit understanding of what it was that was done wrong. So whether or not you be chayav a carbon doesn't really matter for our purposes right now. What matters, the Gemara says, is, and really what the Gemara is highlighting over here, Abosai, is that you can't play Ben Hashmashos both ways. You can't go ahead and exploit the Safek in two different ways. So meaning, a person could say, okay, I'm going to start Shabbos late, because I'm going to say Safek Ben Hashmashos, it's Yom, and therefore it's still Friday, but I'm going to end Shabbos early, because again, Ben Hashmashos, it's Laila already. So all the Gemara is saying is you can't do that. Whatever the status of Ben Hashmashos is going to be going into Shabbos, has to be the same status of Ben Hashmashos that you use leaving Shabbos. The reason why the Gemara also has to say this is because of Bosai, with other Zmanim, we sometimes do use multiple definitions depending on the time. So for example, let's say in certain areas of Halacha, sometimes we'll be more Mekel with Ben Hashmashos, sometimes we'll be less Mekel with Ben Hashmashos, depending on what we need. When it comes to Shabbos, however, you must adopt a definition. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amrli Rava L'Shamei, Rava said to the following, Asun, Dilo kimlu b'shi'ura dirabanan. So Rava said to his servant that we or you who are not vigilant, with the shiurim of the Rabbanan. So Yabal say, what Rav is highlighting over here is we've got a problem. Because now, Bein HaShemashos is a very tricky time of day, as we don't know exactly, first of all, when it starts, how long it goes for, what the status is. So Rav said, if person is not very well versed in the shiurim of the Rabbanan, specifically Bein HaShemashos, so what should you do? Adishimsha Aresh Diklei Itlu Shrago. When the sun is setting on top of the palm trees, light your candles. On other side, what Rav was already saying was, already as the sun is setting, except the Paris of Shas, which Rav, by the way, is what we do, right? We light candles 18 minutes before Shkia, right? 18 minutes, which technically speaking, is not. That's why we have some level of flexibility within those 18 minutes. Because what Rav is saying is, when it comes to Shiurim of Zman, there's so much machlokes, so much ambiguity, so we start even as the sun begins to set. So you give me grass of Yom Unan Mai. What do you do on a cloudy day? What do you do? So I'll say, see, we can't fully appreciate this, right? Because if you want to know what time candle lighting is in, you know, Zimbabwe, you know, just go to myzmanim.com and you could just go ahead. So remember, the once upon a time a person. So what do you do on a cloudy day? So that's very interesting. So Gemara says, Chazi Tarnagola Bedavra, excuse me, Bimasa Chazi Tarnagola. If you're in the city, go ahead and look at the rooster. Bedavra Orbe, if you're in the desert, look at the ravens. Inami Adani, Adani. So what does this mean? Let's take a look at Rashi. Chazut Harnagolin, Hayoshun ala Koros mi ba'od yom, Vechena Arvin Bisada. So apparently, the roosters sit on the beams, and the ravens in the field as well, sit on the beams while it's still day. As the sun is beginning to set, I guess, they go home. They go home, wherever home is. So when you see the rooster already beginning to go home, know that the end of the day is coming. Right? Or Ada'ani, Rashi says, it's an Esev, V'olin shelo notin letzad ha'chama shachris, k'fufin le'mizrach, u'b'chatzi ayom z'kufin, u'le'erev k'fufin ma'ol le'marav. So apparently there's this other plant, which seems to be in the gourd family, that towards the evening, its leaves point westward. So when you see the leaves beginning to point westward, that's also indicative of the fact that the sun is setting. So they gave them these natural world markers so that they should be able to see when Shkia is occurring. Tan Rabbanan, was a very interesting Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, Sheish Tkios Tokin Erev Shabbos. They would go ahead and blow 6 Tkios on Erev Shabbos. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says, I've had Tros Beminyan de Seder Shalayan, Tkia Trua Tkia. Now, Rabbi will say, what you're going to see, they actually blew more than 6 blasts. What it means is, at each interval, they would blow 6 blasts. They would blow a Tkia, Shavarim Tkia, excuse me, Tkia Trua Tkia, Tkia Trua Tkia. This is not like Rosh Hashanah, by the way. We're not worried about what's the definition of Trua, right? Is it a Tkia? Is it a Shavarim? Shavarim Trua? No, this just, they would blow 6 sounds at multiple intervals. So the Gemara says, Rishona, the first set of sounds they would blow, Lahachila Sa'ami Malacha Shebesados. The first set of sounds they would blow is to go ahead and stop the people in the fields from working. Right? There was a sign, stop working time to get ready for Shabbos. Shnia, Lahavtil, Libatil, Ir, Vichanuyos. The second set of blasts was to tell the people in the city and the store owners, close up shop. Shlishas Lahavlikes Haner. And the third set of blasts was to tell the people, candle lighting. This is Divrei Rabbi Nosson. This is Rabbi Nosson's model. Rabbi Huda Hanasi says, no, Shlishis Lachlots Tfilin. That ultimately the third set of blasts was what? Was to tell people to take off their tefillin, because remember, many people wearing their tefillin throughout the day. So the third set of blasts, tell people to take off their tefillin. V'shohe kedei tzalias dag katan, o kedei lahadbik pas batan, and after the third set of blasts, they would wait a little bit. The amount of time that it takes to go ahead and roast a small fish, or the amount of time that it takes to put the dough on the side of the oven, because remember the way they used to cook their bread was they would attach the dough to the oven itself. So you wait this amount of time. Vitokea umaria utokea vishoves. And then they'd blow another fourth set of blasts, a tekia, a shvarim, and a tekia, and that would be the sign that Shabbos had started. Amr of Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel said, so I will say, all you just see is a machlokes, Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Huda Nosson, how they did the Tkia blast. And it's not really a machlokes, because what's going to come out is different locales did different things. But conceptually, all agree to this idea that there had to be some kind of major reminder that Shabbos is coming. Son of Shimon Gamliel, Shimon Gamliel said, Ma na'aselen lebavliim, shetokin umarien v'shofsin mitoch, I'm sorry, I lost the place. Manasseh the Babylonians. What should we do for the Babylonians? Why? What did the Babylonians do? Shetokin Umerian Vishovsin Mitoch Merian Tokin Umerian Havalu Chamsha. Right? So the Gemara says, what should we do about the Babylonians, right, who only sounded a total of five sounds? Elo Shetokin Vichozrin Vitokin Umerian. Vishovsin mitoch merian. So the Gemara says, Minag avosein biyadein. So the Gemara says, the truth is, let the Babylonians do whatever they want to do. Because the truth is, Minag avosein biyadein. They're just, what the Gemara is saying is, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. We don't need conformity in this particular situation. So if they wanted to do a tekiah, another tetrua, and they want to do five sounds instead of six, it doesn't matter to us. That's the Minag avosein, and that's what they're allowed to do. So the Gemara says the following. Masni le Rav Yehuda Rav Yitzchok Berei Shnia lahadlik yasaner. So Rav Yehuda said to Rav Yitzchok his son that the second set of blasts is to go ahead and to remind people to go ahead and light the candles. So the Gemara says, well, whose opinion does that reflect? Kiman lo k'Rabbi Nosson v'lo k'Rabbi Yehuda Hanosi. So we'll say this is a new model now where ultimately the second set of blasts are being sounded in order to get people to light candles. So whose opinion does that reflect? It doesn't reflect Rabbi Nosson's, and it doesn't reflect Rabbi Yehuda Hanosi's. Elo shlishis lahadlik yasaner. Rather, what it means is they would sound the third set of blasts to go ahead and light the candles. So the Gemara says, Kiman, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Nosson, like Rabbi Nosson. Tana de Beit Rabbi Yishma. Sheish tkios tokin erev Shabbos. We blow six tekios on Erev Shabbos. I guess I'm about to say six tekios means six tekios at each interval. A tekiah trua, tekiah, tekiah trua, tekiah at each interval. It Erev Shabbos. Hischil litkoa tekiah rishona. When they would blow the first set of blasts. Nimno, so this is now, so this is Tana Beir Yishmael, is giving us another model for the shofar blowing on Erev Shabbos. When they would go ahead and blow the first set of blasts. Nimnu ha'omdim basode mila'ador umila'charosh umila'azos komolacha shebesados. So when they would blow the first set of tekios, the people who were working in the fields would stop hoeing and would stop plowing and would stop doing all of their work in the field. But listen to this. Ve'in ha'krovim rishon likanes ad she'avo rechokin v'yichnesu kulan ke'echad. But, interestingly enough, the people who were closer to the city would not come back to the city until those who were working in the further out fields joined them. Meaning that they were makbid to all walk in together. Why? Because what would happen if they wouldn't walk in together? If you had one group walk in immediately and another group came 15 minutes later, people might think what? That they continued to work even after the sounding of the shofar. This way, we have all the workers walk back in from the field into the city together. Therefore, no one should be suspected of having worked after the shofar blasts. But after the first set of shofar blasts, the stores are still open. Trisin munachin, trisin literally are their window shutters. So we've seen this before. The way they used to do commerce was people had stores, and then what they would do is they would use their window shutters, which essentially are long boards. They would set it up as tables, right? And they would sell the wares. Apparently, the way they used to do is they wouldn't actually sell their wares from their stores. The stores were more like the warehouse, right? They would bring out all of the wares and set it up on these tables, the tables which happened to be the shutter. So when it's a very good. So when it was closing time, what would you do? You brought in all of your merchandise into the store and you closed up the store with the shutter, with the table that you used. All right. So after the first set of blasts, stores are still open. The trees and the tables are still out. When they would sound the second set of blasts, nistalku ha'trisin. Ultimately, the merchants would go ahead and put away their trees and put away their window shutters, which means they'd close up shop. V'ninalu ha'chanuyos, and ultimately the storekeepers would close their stores. V'adayin chamin munachin al gabekira ukederos munachos al gabekira. But people were still permitted to do malacha in their own homes, so you might have still been cooking on your own stove. Hischil, literally it means chamin, food is still being cooked on your stovetop. pots are still sitting on your softa, meaning you're still doing melacha. Hischil tkoat tkiya shlishis. If you went ahead and once you blew the third set of tkios, silek hamasalek vehitmin hamatmin, you would take whatever food you had to take off your stove, whatever you had to insulate, whatever pots had to, you would insulate vehidlik hamadlik, and ultimately you would light candles. Vishohak kedei tzliyas da katan o kedei lahadbik pas batanur, and then they would wait after this third set of blasts, just a little bit of time, the amount of time that it takes to roast the small fish or to place the bread, to stick the bread in the oven. Vitokea umaria vitokea vishoves. Then they would blow a fourth set of blasts, and this fourth set of blasts would what? Would halacha lemaisa signal the actual beginning of Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said the following. Shamati, I heard, you know what, actually, we'll stop over here. Give ourselves a few minutes here.